All right, that was Photograph of You by a band called, it's LA-based band, American Mile. And they've just released that single, Photograph of You. It's the second single from the forthcoming sophomore album, American Dream, which is due out June 6th. And standing by to join me are bandmates Eugene and Desmond. Good morning. Hey, you guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
We're excited.
Is it on air?
Is it kind of early?
I'm not really a morning guy.
I was going to say, some bands are like, yeah, can I call in at 4?
Yeah.
Shows end at like 12, 1 o'clock, and then we wake up at like 11, 12, you know?
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. So tell me the backstory of your band. You're based in L.A. Have you known each other a long time? Tell me your story.
We're based in L.A., and only one I've known for a really long time would be Joe. I've known the guitar player Joe since I moved to Los Angeles. That was 13, 14 years ago now.
Okay, from? Where'd you move from?
I moved from Vermont.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I moved from Vermont, the Green Mountain State, to California. And I just never left California. I met Dez about 2 years ago. Closer to three years ago, but you joined the band 2 years ago, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Colton, we've known for, I think, just about a year.
Almost a year now. We have to wait for the kid to turn 21 to let him join the band.
Oh, what does he play? What instrument?
Huh?
What does he play?
Oh,
he's our drummer.
Drummer, okay. I was going to guess drummer. I don't know why. And so you people have described your... People have described your music as similar to like Tom Petty, John Mellencamp. I thought you sounded a little bit like Matchbox 20. You said you never heard that. But what are some other artists that people say you remind them of?
As far as you remind me, I've heard Whiskey Myers before from people.
Okay.
Gotten a couple people say Black Crowes before.
Yeah, Black Crowes, definitely.
Yeah, I've definitely gotten that. Mostly Southern rock kind of stuff, classic rock. But I have been getting some more, like popular country stuff, or newer country, just because I think newer country, some of it at least is getting more... A little more rock and rollish.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah. I think with our most recent single, it's definitely more in that direction too.
Yeah. So tell me about that single. Did you both write it? What's the process in your band?
It really depends. That song kind of just happened pretty painlessly. Our guitar player Joe wrote the chord progression, and they were like, Dez and Colton even were like, oh, let's write a song around that progression.
Wait a minute. Yeah, that was a very long yawn. That was a very long yawn.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, waking up. I walked into rehearsal with the lyrics, and that's literally how we put the song together. It was
we already had
everything. Kind of like, I had already had lyrics for it. Before we actually sat down and worked the song out. I was like, oh, I wrote these lyrics a while ago called Photograph You. And we, like, looked at it, and it's like, it all fit in there. So we're just like, let's just use these.
Okay.
Yeah, I think everything came together in less than a week.
Together in less than, 2 days.
2 days?
I think Joe, on a Monday sent the song, and by Wednesday we had it together.
Is this song, though, based on some heartbreak that you went through, or...
I just write a ton of music. I write so much music. I have a leather book that I keep that I just write songs in.
I love
and
that.
And I constantly am churning out songs. But this song, we've all gone through breakups, I think. This song definitely had elements of breakups that I had been a part of when I was younger.
Yeah.
So, definitely had something to do with that.
Yeah. No, it's, it felt like it came from the heart.
Channel your experience into songwriting is something that can be, you know, useful.
Definitely.
Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. So where have you guys been playing?
Well, we do about 200 shows a year, travel up and down, mostly the West Coast all year long.
Mm-hmm.
So all the way up to Washington, we'll go down into Arizona and everywhere through California, Oregon, all that kind of stuff.
And then you must have been really impacted by the fires, I would imagine.
You know, we were blessed. We got out pretty lucky. I don't think any of us were hit too bad. I'm in Glendale, California, and
okay.
So the fires in, like, Altadena, Pasadena area were just a couple miles away from me, but they were over the freeway, so I was very lucky in the fact that it didn't hit my neighborhood.
You're really fortunate.
Yeah. I was in the middle of Chatsworth, so while one of the fires got slightly close, most of them were, I was just kind of surrounded by fire, which was kind of crazy, but
yeah. Wow. So tell me more about this album that's coming out June 6th.
American Dream. You know, we've been working on this record for, God, it seems like some of these songs are like 4 years old. We've been working on this record kind of just like while building a band, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the songs, like I said, three of the songs, I believe, were older songs.
Okay.
That we had kind of done some of the recording, but we didn't have time to put a record out because we were so busy burning through band members because people are just so inconsistent.
Ugh. It's terrible.
And, so once we found, like, Dez and Colton, everything kind of just fell into place.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to, like, it felt like we were finally able to meet up and finish the record and, like, you know, like, actually put the time in to put a good record together.
That's great.
Yeah. And I think when you're listening to the record, you can kind of hear that, like, a real theme of it would be the perseverance, I think, that especially Eugene and Joe went through to continue this thing that they have such a passion for, as long as meeting us on the way and really buying into what's going on and just making that thing work, because it's everything that we want to be doing.
Yeah. You know, you talk about going through, you know, bandmates, and it sounds like, you know, people just bailed on you. That's got to be so hard. Like, you think you're a team and then you lose someone. How do you rebound from that quickly?
You know, I think you have to have the expectation, like in any, it's like a business thing. And expectation is, you really got to know that you're the person or you are the person that's driving the ship,
mm-hmm.
especially the ship of your life. So whatever you want or you want to make happen, you really, as much as you can try to count on people, you really just have to get up and count on yourself.
Yeah. So true.
Now, when you find a great group of people to work with that actually end up sticking around, it makes things so much easier, because when people realize that the team effort actually does make the team, like, uplift the team, then, you know, things just happen so much faster and easier. And it's just a overall better experience than trying to do music. I mean, music is a communal thing.
Yes.
When you're in a band, it's very much a relationship. So, like, you know, we see these people more than we see our families, and some of us with significant others, we see them more than them as well, you know. So you have to have that commitment and understand that things are not always going to be pretty and perfect, but you got to be willing to tough out the hard stuff. And when things are good, things are good.
Right.
And enjoy each other's company, because, like, there's a lot of times where that's the only company we have. So you have to enjoy the ride. And there are a lot of guys that don't they don't understand or enjoy that aspect of it. They don't enjoy the 5 hours in a car going to a gig, 6 hours.
Sure.
And and getting up in the morning and doing the same thing over again. Like, they just don't get it.
It's part of the package, you know?
Yeah, it's tough. It is tough. And I tell people that all the time. Like, hey, if you want to get into a band, just know it is not the fun, joyful, awesome thing to see all the time. Like, a lot of times it's, you know, it's a grunt.
Definitely.
And it will wear you out.
Yes.
Pretty fast if you don't pace yourself correctly.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on musicians and mental health? And, I mean, you guys were, you talk about songs you've had.
I didn't know that musicians had any.
Oh, really? Like, how do you take care of your mental
health?
We were
all crazy.
Yeah? Is that... but, like, how do you take care of yourself when you're going through all that stuff?
Oh, man.
You need to...
I get consumed in work.
You do?
Personally. Mm-hmm. I think when my mind is going nuts, I kind of get more consumed in work, writing songs, trying to create an outlet for that, like, anxiety, depression, or whatever you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that tends to work for me. It doesn't work for everyone. I know some people get buried in work, and then they shut down even more.
Sure.
Yeah.
I have hobbies. You know, I play Magic the Gathering.
What is that?
I do that.
What's that?
It's a card game.
Okay.
It's a card game. It's like a... you know, a card game, some people play it, but, it helps me, like, disassociate my brain from all things music.
Yes.
If I'm like, music is the thing that's making my, you know what I mean? Like,
I
if music is the thing driving my depression or whatever.
Yes.
Day,
yeah.
Like, I am going to do something so different or so, opposite of music that
I like that.
I don't think about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes that's a good thing.
It's a great thing.
I mean, they're on their methods.
Yeah.
I'm sure Desmond has some too.
Yeah, I think it's important, especially when you're out on the road, that you're able to just have mental check-ins with yourself, regardless of what you have going on, so you can see what you might need for that day.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of ironic for a lot of musicians, like when you do have stress and anxiety, depression, whatever it is that they may be going through, our escape is our craft.
Right. Yes.
And so there's been multiple times where it's like stressful during the day, and it's like, I just can't wait to get on stage. And once you're on stage, all that stuff is, you just forget about it.
Definitely.
But yeah, just having mental check-ins and knowing that the people that you're on the road with are and should be there for you, I think goes a real long way.
Yeah. I would say as a band, you each have to have something, because as you said, you're in a car 6 hours, you know, you're juggling all the stuff. You need some kind of balance.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can. I mean, some people just have music. That's all they have.
Yeah.
That's all they mm-hmm. want to do, can do. And that's fine. You know, like, but I do think it's healthy to have another thing.
Some kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
Eugene and I actually, we're big basketball fans. For some reason, he's a Celtics fan, and I'm a Lakers fan. So there's a lot of banter going on that helps out with that too.
The rivalry is strong in this band.
That's so funny. And now Celtics, because you were from Vermont?
From Vermont, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I lived in Boston for 12 years.
Nice.
That's so funny.
So you're a fellow Celtics fan, right?
Well,
that's what I'm hearing.
I also grew up in New York, so.
Oh.
Yeah. I like the Celtics. I like the Celtics. My husband's going to kill me.
My parents are both from Brooklyn. So.
Oh, they are? That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
I have a lot of family in New York, so.
Very cool. Are there places in New York you'd like to play, or have you?
You know, we haven't played in New York, but I would really like to play a couple places there's a couple places just literally in Long Island that I'd like to play because most of my family lives out there, just to see them and like actually have them see my band play.
Definitely.
Kind of fun for me.
You got to do it.
I know. You know, we're going to Nashville this year, so we're making our first big West or East Coast run this year.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to do, we're going to end up doing more of that. It's just been, it's hard. People don't value music at the same level that they used to.
Why do you think that is, though?
It's so easily accessible.
So distracted by everything going on.
Yeah.
You know, with people's attention spans have become like really short.
So true.
It's just, you know, when you're fed so much information daily,
constantly,
it's hard to retain that kind of attention span where you can like enjoy the nuances of what music really is.
Yes.
And, you know, I think back in the, you know, and I hate to be like, oh, the 70s.
Back in the day.
All this stuff was better. But back before people had cell phones and like tiny computers, basically, that give them like infinite information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, entertainment was something of like, I have to go out and be involved in this community.
Yes.
To enjoy the entertainment. And it's kind of sad that it's gone in a way.
Right. I agree.
At least the creative side of it, in that sense. It's still, like, prevalent in some of, like, the EDM, like, house kind of scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I guess the music's just changed. It's not, to me, like, you know, not to knock it. I like instruments. Mm-hmm. I like seeing people play.
Oh, definitely.
I don't really want to watch a, you know, I love the passion that drives what people do. And like having to sit there and pluck away an instrument, it's like, I know that you practice for hours and hours and hours to mm-hmm. be able to do that. And there's something that's like, oh, that's cool to do that.
Yeah.
That's, you know, but yeah, I don't know. It's odd. It's become really strange.
Well, I think, you know, people don't gather as much. Unless they get encouraged from friends. It's also a pandemic thing. Like, people got so used to being remote and just, you know, being on their phones or streaming stuff and, you know, being just stuck at home that now it's hard for people to get out and actually have a conversation. And they're not in this comfort zone anymore where they're overthinking and they're like, I don't feel like going and there's so much of that and people, they just don't come out as much, and it's really a shame. I mean, people are going to stuff, but I think it's harder for a lot of other people too.
Yeah, that would make sense. That makes sense to me. Actually, speaking of which, too, we're going to be putting out a live
stream,
a live from Sutter Creek Theater video of us playing the entire record top to bottom.
When? This is cool.
It'll be after the album release.
Okay, so
probably a couple, maybe a month or two after
July or so? Release. All right. That's going to be cool.
Yeah, just as like it'll, you know, kind of so people can see what the live vibe is, you know?
Will there be anybody there, though? Will there be some people there live or just everybody?
Oh, yeah. No, okay. We already filmed it. We filmed it.
Okay. That's going to be awesome.
It'll be great. We're really excited for it, actually.
And then we have a good time.
New single dropping in two weeks?
On the second.
Yeah. On the second. Yeah.
Okay. That's Photograph of You or a different one?
This one will be called Waiting on a Sunday.
Oh, right. Okay. Nice. Well, let me know when the stream comes out because I'll put it on the show blog. Let me just remind listeners that if you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Eugene and Desmond of the LA band American Mile, and they've got this cool song out, Photograph of You, and their forthcoming album comes out. It's called American Dream, comes out June 6th. What else would you like listeners to know about the band?
Come out, see us live. I promise you we will
rock your socks.
I promise you, you'll leave having a great experience.
Yeah.
We will be your favorite band that you've never heard of.
We really will.
By the way, who did your artwork for American
Mile? My friend Sid, she did our artwork. Me and Joe have known her for years. She's from
Arizona.
So cool. And I reached out to her and was like, hey, will you do our artwork? And me and her kind of like, went back and forth with some ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of told her what I was going for. She knocked it out of the park.
It's really cool.
It was the first time I kind of fully I told her what I wanted and I just fully let go and was like, you know what? You do it. see what happens.
It kind of gives off like Grateful Dead vibes a little bit.
Yeah,
definitely. So
if you buy the we did limited edition vinyls, and there's a giant center art piece, like a kind of like how To Eat a Peach is.
Okay.
And it is it's crazy. It's really cool.
I
it's like
to a check
trippy,
it out. Yeah.
Grateful Dead kind of like bad acid trip going on.
Oh, I'm
going
to have to see that. Where can that be seen? Where is that?
You can see it on our Etsy store. We're pre-selling vinyls.
Okay.
For so if people go to our IG or our website and follow our link tree, I believe it's in the link tree for pre-orders.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And so did you tell her you wanted kind of it's a Statue of Liberty, right?
Yeah.
But it's a guy?
No, it's a girl.
It's a girl. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to have people have to check it out. So you can see this album cover on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. Very cool. Okay, so people can expect the album to come out June 6th. It's called American Dream. We've been talking to American Mile. So one last question. How did you name your band?
Sure.
Where'd you get the name from?
How did I name it?
Yeah.
Ooh, the name. Okay, so originally I was in a band with it was me and my two brothers, American Mile.
Okay.
We went by a completely different name. I was working in the studio one day with my producer friend, Keith Nelson. And we were just kind of like hanging out, and I had said the words American Mile in one of the songs. And I was sitting there and I was like, that'd be really, I said it into into the mic when we were recording the vocals. I think it was a Wild One. And I was like, man, American Mile would be a much better band name. And, he just kind of hit the talk back and was like, that's a great band name. You should just change your band name to that right now. And I was like, yeah, it'd be really easy to make an A and an M in red, white, and blue. And like, it's just like really, you know, it's a single two word band name that's very relatable and easy to remember.
Yeah.
So I switched it right then and there. That was 6 years ago. So.
And stuck.
Never look back.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
So we kicked off the show with a photograph of you, and I'm going to wrap it up with Straight from the Heartland, if that's okay with you.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you both so much for calling in. This is awesome.
Hey, thank you so much for having us. It was a fun conversation, man.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
And when you're performing in L.A., I'd love to come out and check out the band.
All right.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, cool.
Come on out. Okay. Yeah, we'll bring you on the list.
All right, cool. Thank you so much.
No problem.
All right, take
care. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, we were talking to Eugene and Desmond of the band American Mile, and we're going to wrap up with Straight from the Heartland, and at the top of the hour, SoCal New Waver is back with Pass Forward, so stick around for that at 10 o'clock. My name is Janine. You've been listening to Get the Funk Out. I'm here every Wednesday at 9. If you're not familiar with KUCI, you can head on over to our website at kuci.org. You can check out our socials at KUCI-FM. And if you want to learn more about my show, or if you want to be a guest, you can email me at Janine, J-A-N-E-A-N-E, at kuci.org. And the show blog is getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org.